Welcome to Let's Learn Together, a podcast from the East Greenbush Central School District. I'm your host, Superintendent Jeff Simons. On today's episode, we're discussing reading instruction, how we teach our students to read, ways we evaluate their skills, and what interventions we use to help them improve their reading. I will share an update regarding the Goff cell phone policy. And we hear from some of our comedic students as they tell their favorite jokes. We'll profile Janae intervention specialist Joy Lemke. We share reading tips and we highlight Green Meadows morning television show, GMTV, as our student activity spotlight. But first, I want to recognize the Columbia Athletics Department, our athletic director, Ryan Jones, his secretary, Natalie Young, all of our coaches, game staff, volunteers, and the Columbia All Sports Club. They do an outstanding job offering interscholastic athletic programs for our students. Just this year, with the support of our Board of Education, we offered three new sports, boys swimming, girls swimming, and girls wrestling. I'm pleased to share that four of our girls wrestlers qualified for the New York State Girls Wrestling Championships, which took place this past weekend. Al Hutton, Bella Sadolino, Kiara Murdy, and Emily Brown all represented Columbia High School in the state wrestling tournament. Congratulations goes to Elle Hutton. She won the state title in her weight class. Congratulations, Elle, and all of our Columbia High School student athletes. Prior to the start of the current school year, Goff Middle School began enforcing the existing cell phone policy, which indicates that cell phones are not permitted to be used by students during the instructional day. The goal of the policy was to eliminate distractions for our students so that they could focus on their academics and their connections with teachers and their friends. At last week's Public Board of Education meeting, Goff Principal Jim McHugh provided an update on how things were going with the Goff cell phone policy. Mr. McHugh shared data with our school board, which included discipline statistics and surveys about the cell phone policy from our students, our staff, and our parents. Importantly, the statistics from the survey show that 98% of our staff have seen a decrease in cell phone use during the school day. And importantly, they've noticed that students seem less distracted in class, and they seem to be socializing more with each other and with the faculty. I'd like to thank Mr. McHugh, all of the teachers and staff at Goff Middle School, and our parents and students for supporting this policy. This was a policy that we talked about before the school year started, and it's extremely important when our students come to school that they remain focused on learning. Now, let's learn together. Our main story in this episode is about reading instruction. It's one of the most important things we do as a school district. We teach our students how to read. Recently, I discussed this topic with Lisa Mahar, a former reading teacher, and currently our multi-tiered systems of supports and English language arts coordinator. I'm going to ask you, Lisa, can you tell me a little bit about what your role is in the district? And can you explain for somebody that may not work in our schools, what is meant by multi-tiered systems of supports?
I provide professional development trainings on things like what is MTSS, that multi-tiered system of supports, which really is about serving the whole child in a tiered approach, which we'll be talking about hopefully in this podcast a little bit more about how we can use those supports in the schools. So really making sure that we offer the trainings, and I've been instrumental in doing that with the teachers. And one of the other things we do is I try to offer support to teachers in terms of resources. So I might go out and research a resource or get them something that they might need, or maybe even facilitate meetings. I've been a big part of data team meetings, which has been part of our MTSS process, and really just ongoing work that I do with our universal screeners, which I'm hoping to get to talk a little bit about today, our Renaissance universal screener and our multiple measures, which helps us to really make sure that we're help supporting those students with that whole learner and making sure we are accelerating learning and personalizing learning.
Thank you, Lisa. You know, the general public listening today might believe and agree with us that reading is one of the most important things we do in the school. Students can't learn anything else, science, math, social studies, or any other topic without being able to read. You have a good sense of the reading program here in East Greenbush. Can you describe it at both the elementary, middle school, and secondary level in general? How much time do we spend on reading, and what's the approach in East Greenbush?
So in East Greenbush, we have for years at the elementary level, we've been using what I would consider like a balanced literacy approach. And, you know, we have really become gotten to a point where we now know better. I always say when you know better, you need to do better, right? And one of the things we know is that the balanced literacy approach came from back in the day when I started my education, we learned about what I learned the reading wars, right? Do we use phonics? Do we use whole language? Whether it's elementary or secondary. And that's kind of where balanced literacy landed, right? We do a little bit of each, but without so much lot of intentionalness, without direct explicit learning. So what has happened in East Greenbush, and I'm really proud to say, is we've really, over the past 3 years since I've been in this role, we have really come to more of what I say, we're aligning our work towards a science of reading approach, which is grounded in research. It's not a program, science of reading. It's a framework. It's based on research. It's based on a lot of studies that have been done. It's based on the brain science, how we've actually looked at brains of students that have been reading and what are our best practices. And what I'm really pleased to say is that East Greenbush actually has been doing a lot of great things. Anybody that's looking at our data is saying East Greenbush is doing something right over there. We really have been doing a lot of things right. And I always say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Try to keep the things that are working in place, but make the shifts that we need to now that we know what is best practices in terms of what the science is saying. So I think of our newer approaches as structured literacy, where we're more explicit and direct with our phonics and phonemic awareness instruction.
As part of our instruction, schools utilize small reading groups to work on specific skills with students. We stopped by a reading group at Red Mill to see how Mrs. Tozzi uses strategies to help her students develop phonemic awareness and apply phonic skills.
We already talked about that CK only comes at the end. So help me read a couple words where we only see CK at the end.
Okay. Ready? Okay. Rock.
Rock. Good. What would your vowel sound in rock? Is that short or long?
Short.
Very good. And then try this word.
Black. Black.
Very good. What sound is your vowel making in the word black? Is that a short sound?
Short.
Very good. So that's why we can.
Eventually, students read words and can put together sentences.
All right, let's do the words in the sentence first. So what's this first word?
Mom.
Very good. Okay, so here this word has an S. We're going to cover up the S. Ready?
Packs.
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 Packs. Packs. So mom.
Mom.
Packs. Packs. Packs.
The
best. Very good. Now this word also has an S at the end, so cover up the S.
Snack.
With an S.
Snacks.
Very good. So did you remember the sentence?
Yes, yes. Mom.
Yeah. Mom.
Mom.
Packs.
Packs.
The best.
Snacks.
Okay.
So Lisa, one of the things you mentioned was that we have been involved and you have been supporting in your work, the science of reading. This topic, the science of reading, has gotten a lot of attention lately. In fact, the governor recently announced that she is going to be requiring the state education department to develop some legislation to ensure that best practices in reading instruction, aka the science of reading, is happening in all of our schools. How well is East Greenbush School District positioned to be able to meet any new thing that comes down from the state regarding the science of reading?
I would say East Greenbush is in a great place. Like I said before, one of the things I've noticed about being at the five elementary buildings alone is you see a lot of great practices already in place. People have already been making the shifts about, we've started about 3 years ago making more intentional shifts. We've been training since my role has started about almost 3 years ago. We've been making really intentional shifts in terms of training and professional development. People are now, I call it going down their own rabbit holes and learning, wanting to learn more about the science of reading. So at the elementary level, we've done things like we've implemented Hegarty, phonemic awareness instruction. We have it mandated in kindergarten and first grade. What the science of reading has really taught us is that we learn reading at the sound level, that begins there. So doing Hegarty and doing intentional auditory and sound work with words and letters and manipulating and blending and segmenting, those kinds of things are so important. So we're really that in that sense, we're in a great place doing explicit and direct instruction in phonics instruction, which some people are like, what does it mean, phonics? I thought that's what phonemic awareness was. Phonics is really once you take the sound, so you take the word, let's just take the sounds for k, a, t, right? We bring it, that is the phonemic part, right? Phonemes, k, a, t. Once you blend it, I segmented, now I'm going to blend it together. And now I'm asking students to map it or to now write it down. Once you bring it down to the letter level and you bring it down on paper to the letter, now you're bringing in the phonics. That's where the phonics plays in.
Lisa, I heard somebody say one time that phonics and phonemic awareness, if it's kind of hard to understand the difference, like you said. I was told one time that if you think about phonemic awareness, is phonics with the lights off. Does that make any sense?
I love that. That's a great
Basically, one is the sound, hearing the sounds and the discrete parts of words. The other is recognizing visually the discrete.
Recognizing visually, exactly. And I think, you know, for the biggest bang we've had for the buck is getting Hegarty into place. We have, again, with that balanced literacy, our teachers were incidentally doing it here and there. But now we have direct about 5 to 7 minutes a day. Teachers are doing it every day at the K-1 level, and it is already making a huge difference. I have teachers coming to me saying, I have never in all my years, 20 years of teaching, had my students reading by November.
That's terrific. Our recent ELA scores reflect the work that our teachers are doing. We have very good scores on our last spring's New York State assessments in English language arts and math, but our reading scores were tops in the capital region. Do you think that has anything to do with the work the teachers are doing on the science of reading in the programs that you're talking about?
I do, especially, yes.
We started off introducing you and what your role is in the school district as a coordinator of the MTSS program and the ELA English Language Arts program in our district. You've been an experienced classroom teacher, elementary school teacher. You've been a reading teacher. Now you're a teacher of teachers. How does that role impact students? I mean, you must miss the students and working directly with them, but how does your role in working with the teachers to impact students make a difference for kids?
I feel like my role being in this more support, I call it, something that I always was doing, even I've been in East Greenbush for 26 years. I've always loved helping teachers, giving them a resource, getting into the classrooms and supporting teachers with best practices or how to make some of these science of reading shifts. This, for some teachers, this has been challenging, but they've been really receptive. I think being visible in the building and letting people know that I am there for them, the teacher, not the student. Of course, I think that trickles down to the students, but I think just teachers knowing that they have somebody they can reach out to if they have a question about something or they want to know about a best practice or if they want to know about a resource. I feel like that has played a huge role in the district. And the only other thing I just wanted to say is I didn't mention a lot about Renaissance because, you know, assessments and data is important, but I feel like the rollout of Renaissance has also played a really big role for us. We have
Renaissance is a company that provides testing and assessment tools for the districts to make sure students are progressing in reading. We've been using that for a while, have we not, Ms. Mahar?
Yes. Yep. This is going on our third year and we're using a K-8. And I think that has played a big role in supporting teachers, understanding how we don't just use this Renaissance, we call it the STAR, CAT, computer adaptive test. We don't just use that universal screener 3 times a year, which I have to say is a great screener because it's the first hit that we give to our students that really predicts, it doesn't predict, it determines our students' general health in reading, just generally. Like when you're going to the doctor's, physical, They say, generally, in general, you're doing good, but your heart, I'm a little concerned about. So that's what's great about, in my role, I'm able to give training to the AIS teachers, academic intervention service teachers, or to a special ed group of teachers, give them training in how do we dig in? Like you said, what if you have a student that can word call and we need an assessment on figuring out comprehension? What are other diagnostics we can use? And STAR has some that we've been able to train the teachers on where they can dig in and find out target specific skills that the students need. So
I just that Renaissance assessment data, it goes back to what you said in terms of being more targeted towards student needs and more explicit about our instruction to hone in on the aspects of reading that students may need more work on. Is that accurate?
Yes. Actually, the STAR test, the computer adaptive test alone, can provide you with, at your fingertips, there are several reports that you can use. It actually will tell you where the student's ready to learn in terms of New York State Next Generation Standards. It will provide you with resources that you can use, Nearpod lessons. You can use Freckle, which is an instructional practice product that Renaissance offers, where it will personalize the instruction and make it adaptive directly to the student. They can use program like Lilo, which is also a Renaissance product that we are using, which is foundational literacy skills, targets them specifically based on the STAR test. So that STAR test is really doing a lot of work for us in East Greenbush and allowing us to help, I call it accelerate learning, if we want students to get on it, like especially during centers times. I tell people, make that a center. And you can use Freckle through eighth grade. So Freckle ELA is great. They have skills in there. You can use grammar work. They even have passages that they can read where they can actually answer questions. And then they can even type and do writing that's directly connected to it. And we have Mayan, which is personalized books that are adaptive to the STAR test that the students can be listening to books. They can do projects on books. They can get bundles of books where they're learning about all one topic. So it's pretty comprehensive, and I'm pretty proud of it for the district. I feel like it's gotten us to a great place, and being there to support the district and the teachers, I feel like has really helped, has been another big factor in terms of helping and supporting that the whole learner kind of perspective.
So I want to wrap up with a final question. Okay. And we have to go back a little bit in time and then go forward. There's a lot of discussion still going on across our state and really across our nation regarding learning loss and how students were impacted by the pandemic, and that some students struggled to make the gains that they typically would make in reading because of the ways that schools had to provide remote learning. In our case, we had a hybrid model of instruction where kids were coming for in-person instruction and receiving remote instruction. Where are we at in terms of our students' progress coming through the pandemic? And is your work and the work of the teachers that you're talking about in terms of reading instruction helping our kids recover from what was a very challenging time in our district?
You know, what's really great about the work that we're doing is we are looking at those students where there are, we call them learning gaps, right? I mean, we can't lose learning, but we have gaps in learning, right? And one of the things I really like about, let me just take phonemic awareness. Such an intentional, deliberate, direct instruction that makes a huge difference. Right now, we know that our upper level at the elementary level, our third, fourth, and fifth graders are the ones where we see that impact, right? Our K-1-2 kids, they're now seeing more of a regular school year over the years. So I, having been a fourth and fifth grade teacher, I struggled with students that I would say, sound out the word. They can't spell. We have children in these grades that can't spell, and they're struggling with writing. We have some that even can't read. Not a lot, but we're working on those things. Let me go back to phonemic awareness. Why is phonemic awareness making such an impact at all levels, even through high school? Because we have students that can't spell or write, and we're like, why? When you go back and you figure out where the student in terms of sounding out, when we say sound out, a lot of kids don't know what that means. They don't know how to sound out a word. They're like, they're spelling and they're missing a bunch of letters. If you go back and you actually do an assessment on where they are in terms of their phonemic awareness, you can actually bridge the gap, and you can actually teach them specific explicit skills in phonemic awareness. Let me give you an example. I had a student at the middle school that we gave a phonemic awareness assessment. He had gaps in three areas, and they were like medial or middle sounds. He was unable to take multisyllabic words and take the middle syllable and take it out and put another one in to make a new word. So we had targeted lessons we were able to give them with this Hegarty program. It's called Bridge the Gap. We actually have it K through 12. We're able to hone in. We're able to improve his phonemic awareness. It improved his spelling, and in turn, it improves your writing and so on and so on. So things like that within our assessments we're starting to really use has really helped us to zone in and target students' needs. You know, phonics, for example, we have a lot of children because we hadn't been directly and explicitly teaching phonics. We also were hybrid. It was hard to teach it. So we have kids that maybe are in the older levels struggling. How do we know what they're struggling with? We give them a phonics screener that we're just kind of starting to really use in the district. And we're honing in on those phonics skills that they need. Maybe they don't know how to read vowel teams, certain vowel teams. So we hone in, we have them do word work with vowel teams. We read sentences with vowel teams. Then we read decodables with vowel teams in them. And what I love about what we've done in the district is we're buying and purchasing resources like decodables for our struggling students in reading that are meant more for the older level students. They're not like kiddish, you know what I mean by those kiddish books. Right. They're more adult level or fifth grade level decodables. So we're really being thoughtful about those gaps and making sure that we're kind of closing them and accelerating the learning. And that takes a lot of hard work and a lot of collaboration, which I have to say, the buildings across the board, we're on that. We're working on that.
So it sounds like all of the work that you're doing with our teachers is helping our kids bounce back from that period of time, developing reading skills in a more focused and supportive way. Lisa Mahar, she's an experienced veteran, one of the best teachers, not only in the East Greenbush School District, but across our state. She's an example of one of the finest public educators that we have, always trying to get better, always trying to support learning, and always an advocate for our public school teachers. Ms. Mahar, we thank you very much for having this conversation with us today regarding reading, a very important topic to our students, our families, and our community. Thank you, Lisa Mahar.
Thank you, Mr. Simons.
And now, get ready to laugh as our students tell some jokes.
Hi, my name is Mason. I'm from DPS. I'm in third grade. Why did the kid bring a ladder to school? Because he wanted to go to high school.
Hi, my name is Addie, and I'm in third grade at DPS. What's a snake's favorite subject in school? History.
My name is Aiden. I'm in fourth grade. I go to DPS. Why did the skeleton not want to go to the prom? Because he had no guts to dance.
Hi, my name is Greta, and I'm in DPS, and I'm first grade. What do you call a cow on the ground? Ground beef.
My name is Kyle, and I'm a fifth grade student at Belltop. This is my joke. Why couldn't the skeleton go to the dance? He had no body to go with.
Hi, my name is Dylan. I'm a third grade student at Belltop, and I'm about to tell you the most funniest monster joke ever. Here it is. What did the baby monster say to his babysitter? I want my mummy.
Hi, my name is Hunter. I'm a fifth grader student right here in Belltop. And I have a very crazy cool joke to tell you. Who always steals the soaps out of your guys' bathrooms? Robert Ducky!
For today's staff profile, we feature Janae Intervention Specialist Joy Lemke.
My name's Joy Lemke. I'm an intervention specialist here at Janae Elementary School, and I get to wake up every morning knowing that I'm going to see over 400 smiling faces with big hearts. In my position as the intervention specialist, I work with small groups. I help kids in math and reading, and it's really exciting because they come on in and we really get to it. We work hard. They say funny things every day that make me laugh, and together we just try to find the best results that we can. As the intervention specialist, our students come from the classroom in small groups, sometimes two, sometimes four, and the teachers do amazing work in the classroom, but sometimes students just need a little extra help, a little extra support, and that's where myself and the rest of the AIS team comes in. We'll often do word work. I have these amazing letter tiles that we blend and put words together. We work with my older students with different text. I'll work with nonfiction text and fiction text. We have an amazing blending board. One of my second grade students, his absolute favorite thing is our blending board, and that's where we get to put words together. We create and look at what vowel combinations do, what long E does, and we work together to really use those skills that we're learning. I started here at Janae at Halloween, which was a really fun time to start. We have amazing parade and things that go on here. Before my time here at East Greenbush, I have been in education my entire career. I've previously taught at the North Colony Schools and in Farmington, Connecticut. I've also taught at the College of St. Rose as an instructor. And when I'm not here teaching at Janae, some of my favorite things to do are just to be outside. I think one of my favorite places is Acadia in Maine. I'd have to say my favorite part of working here at Janae are the people. And that's everybody from our people that are small, that we take care of and teach every day, to everybody who has worked here for years and our veteran teachers. This is just an amazing, hardworking staff. And to spend every day with them working together as a team is really a gift.
For today's family resource segment, we have school librarian Peggy O'Connor, who share the importance of children reading at home and how parents can help reluctant readers get started.
Hi, I'm Peggy O'Connor. I'm the librarian at Donald P. Sutherland Elementary School. Reading at home isn't just about school and shouldn't be a chore, but rather a time to enjoy and bond with your child. By creating a habit of reading together, you're not only fostering a love for books, but you're also building essential language and literacy skills. Reading aloud and reading together should happen with students of all ages. All students, not just our younger ones, love to have picture books and chapter books read aloud to them. And as your child becomes a stronger reader, they may even want to read it to you or with you. Let that be your child's choice, not an expectation. Sometimes they just might want to listen. As my own son got older and wanted to read on his own, we would have a family book club where we'd all read the same book and then be able to discuss it together. There are so many benefits to reading with your child. Reading strengthens language skills. It expands vocabulary and it builds comprehension. Think of it as exercise for your child's mind, and maybe yours. From science adventures to historical journeys, books offer a smorgasbord of information that fuels curiosity and it sparks imagination. Reading together helps to build empathy. Books allow children to step into different shoes and develop understanding and compassion for others. They'll learn about emotions, relationships, and the world around them. Reading together creates cozy moments of connection and shared laughter. It's a special time to unplug, be present, and just nurture your relationship. You might have one of those reluctant readers. We've seen them out there, but don't stress. Here are some ideas to help. You could lead by example. Let your child just see you reading for pleasure. Go and visit your local libraries together. Explore the collections and attend the storytime events. One thing that can make a big difference can be when the child chooses the books. And don't forget to email your school librarian for suggestions as well. Sometimes technology can be the thing that helps that reluctant reader. Consider audiobooks or ebook readers to add variety. One of my family's favorite things to do is to listen to books on a long car ride. It's also really fun to listen to the audio of a book while you're reading it. The audios of the books nowadays are so well done. I was just listening to one with Meryl Streep. You not only have access to audiobooks through your local library, but through the district Sora Library. As residents of New York State, you can even get e-library cards to the New York Public Library and Brooklyn's. Reading is supposed to be fun, and it's totally fine to ditch a book you're not enjoying if you're reading it for pleasure. Talk together about what the author may have done better and what kind of books would be better for you guys to listen to. Graphic novels are a wonderful option. They can be a gateway to other types of books and reading materials, so don't hesitate to explore them. Your middle school and high schooler readers often have less time and interest in reading for pleasure, but don't panic. If you've established a strong reading foundation, they'll come back to it when they're ready. It's another thing I've seen in my own family. We are so lucky here in East Greenbush District to have a full-time librarian in every single school building. If you're looking for resources or ideas, please do not hesitate to reach out. Our contact information is listed at www.egcsd.org/library. Remember, the most important thing to do is make reading fun and engaging. Let your child explore their interests, laugh with them, and show them the joy of getting lost in a good book. By fostering a love of reading at home, you're giving your child a gift that will last a lifetime. Happy reading!
During each episode of Let's Learn Together, we will have a student highlight an activity that they participate in school. Whether it is a club, a sport, a musical ensemble, or some other student group, today we're featuring Green Meadow Elementary School's morning show, GMTV.
I'm Charlotte. I'm a student at Green Meadow Elementary School, and I'm involved in GMTV. GMTV is a club here at Green Meadow with 60 kids. It stands for Green Meadow TV. GMTV is morning announcements and basically like a TV show that you watch in the morning. GMTV starts at 9:15, and I'm very involved in GMTV. I love it. I have played the first anchor person and the second anchor person. Every morning, GMTV in fourth grade, we pull three students each morning and they help run the show. The studio is kind of like a real news room. It's got lights. It's got a photo of Green Meadow behind us. It's got really good background. We've got a teleprompter. My favorite part is your award at the end, the candy. I just love GMTV. It's the coolest.
Coming up on the school calendar, the district-wide choral festival is scheduled for Thursday, February 1st at 10 a.m. in the Columbia High School auditorium. All of our choral groups will be performing at this annual event under the direction of their music teachers. I'm confident our students will sing beautifully. And kindergarten registration begins in February. Families who have children entering kindergarten this coming fall should attend kindergarten registration at their respective elementary schools. For more information, visit www.egcsd.org/registration. That's it for today's episode of Let's Learn Together. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen. Have a great day.